since high school or early college. Or maybe you haven't taken an English class in years. Don't worry, the GRE isn't testing your knowledge in these areas. In other words, you won't need to know the opening line to Robert Frost's directive or differential equations. Rather, the test writers want to see how well you can apply the analytical and reasoning skills you developed over the last several years. So you won't have to prepare for this test the way you might have studied for exams in college. No cramming on the fall of the Roman Empire or flashcards with biology concepts needed. The test makers just want to see how you think, not what you know. So, as we were saying, while the GRE tests you in the same areas as the SAT, it's not like every other standardized test you've ever taken. You won't have to worry about whether you've got number two pencils or fret about bubbling inside the lines. That's because you'll be taking this test on the computer if you live in the United States, Canada, Europe, and many other parts of the world. So, here's the big thing about taking the GRE on the computer. You can't go back and change your answers, skip questions, or scroll forward to see what questions you have coming up. You have to answer each question as you get it. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's because the computer version of the test doesn't give you questions in a predetermined order. And this is where the GRE really gets unique, and as we said before, quirky. See, the GRE decides what questions to give you next, depending on how well you've answered the previous ones. In a way, it's kind of like a video game. If you do well on one level of a video game, then you advance to the next level and face more difficult challenges. Similarly, if you get all of the first five questions in one section right, the computer will think, here's a whiz kid. Let's see how smart this person really is. And ta-da, it'll spit out some more difficult questions to see how well you know your stuff. Then, if you get most of those questions right, the computer will again give you some more difficult questions. On the other hand, if you start getting most of them wrong, the computer will hand you easier questions. This technique is called adaptive testing. As the theory goes, the adaptive format gives graduate schools a more precise evaluation of your skills. Adaptive testing might sound a little nerve-wracking. After all, you don't want to feel like you're failing the test as you're taking it. But adaptive testing doesn't have to be that scary. Later on, we'll talk about how to avoid psyching yourself out when you start getting harder or easier questions. We'll also talk about strategies for making sure you get tougher rather than easier questions as you go along. For now, though, we'll tell you this. Adaptive testing is actually good news for you. You don't have to answer as many questions as you would if you took the test on paper. Paper tests include questions of all difficulty levels. But by calibrating your questions based on your performance, the GRE determines very quickly how well you do on harder questions and how well you measure up against other test takers. In fact, the GRE determines this so quickly that you don't have to wring your hands for 6 weeks after test day before finding out how you did. As soon as you finish taking the GRE, you'll find out your score for the verbal and math sections. You will, of course, have to wait a few more weeks before finding out the essays, since someone has to read them. But you will leave the test center knowing your basic test score. With that kind of instant gratification, you won't have to wait to pop open the bottle of champagne. Another crucial part of knowing your enemy is knowing how the test is broken down. Yes, you say, I know, it tests me on math, verbal, writing. True. But there's a little more you'll want to know. There are actually four sections on the GRE. Two of them focus on writing, one focuses on math, and the fourth section focuses on verbal skills. To make things easier on you, we'll refer to these areas as math, verbal, and writing, because, well, that's what the sections actually cover. But you should know how the GRE refers to each section of the test. We'll talk about what each of these sections tests in more detail later on. For now, it's just important that you know what these aforementioned fancy names are referring to. Analytical writing refers to the two writing sections. Why analytical? Well, like every other section of the GRE, the writing section wants to see how your brain works, not just how smoothly you can make your sentences flow. The first writing section is referred to as the Present Your Perspective on an Issue task. Sometimes, GRE materials will shorten the name by referring to it simply as the Issue task. In this 45-minute section, you will be asked to present your perspective on, what else? An issue. The GRE refers to the second writing section as the Analyze an Argument task. Or just argument task. This 30-minute section will require you to look at someone else's argument and analyze how well reasoned it is. Or, as the case may be, how well reasoned it isn't. Verbal reasoning is the name the GRE uses for, surprise, the verbal section. Why verbal reasoning? Because this 30-minute section tests your ability to analyze and evaluate reading passages as well as the relationships between words